Insights.
This is Akashvani. In the program Insights, now we bring you a discussion on Supreme Court's decision on the SC-ST Act. The participants are Ashish Kumar Pandey, Advocate, Supreme Court, and Rajesh Lake, Anchor.
Good evening and welcome to our weekly program Insights. Today we focus on a sensitive issue, the recent Supreme Court decision on the Scheduled Caste and Scheduled Tribe Prevention of Atrocities Act and what it means for Dalit and Adivasi communities, for law enforcement and for our justice system as a whole. To help us understand the legal nuances, the implications on the ground and the way forward, we have with us noted legal expert Ashish Pandey. Ashish, thank you for joining us on Insights.
Thank you for having me.
Ashish, to begin with, can you briefly explain what the Scheduled Caste, Scheduled Tribe Prevention of Atrocities Act seeks to achieve and why it is considered a special law in our criminal justice framework?
Nowadays, we see that there is so much heated debate on social media and on other platforms regarding how this SC-ST Act is being implemented and other things which are related to the situation. We need to understand that Indian society is a very complex society. There has been historical context where certain segments of society have been discriminated against, and this is a reality. No one can deny it. So when constitutional framers were deciding what provisions should be there in the constitution, so there are certain special provisions were enacted in the constitution regarding protection of those segments which are vulnerable in our society. One of such provision is Article 341 and Article 342. These provisions talk about certain protections to scheduled castes and scheduled tribes. Now, the scheme of these articles has been framed in such a way where a president can issue a constitutional order, where a schedule is there and certain castes can be included in that particular schedule. And if those castes are there in that schedule, then protections and social welfare schemes related to scheduled castes can be extended to those castes. Similarly, for scheduled tribes, we have Article 342. Now, there is a very important legal fiction which had been created in the Constitution itself. It says that if a particular person is belonging to Hindu religion, Buddhist religion, and Sikh religion, then only they are in the position to claim the benefit of scheduled caste status. This recent Supreme Court judgment has been passed where a person who has converted to a different religion has been denied benefit of protections which are available under Scheduled Caste and Scheduled Tribe Protection of Atrocities Act.
Okay. So doesn't it seem as though a particular caste is being secluded in this act?
From a certain point of view, it may appear as if discriminatory interpretation has been adopted. But if you understand what is actually happening, that this is not a new law which has been interpreted by the Honorable Supreme Court. It is a 70-year-old constitutional provision which is being interpreted in the light of whatever is written in the constitution order itself. Now you see, the core distinction is because when we analyze the discrimination which is caste-based, then there are certain religions where there's a concept of caste. Like when we say that in Hinduism, we cannot debate that there is a caste-based system. And there are certain castes which have been historically discriminated against. But then we talk about religions like Christianity. These religions do not recognize the concept of caste. So you can understand in such a way, like if a person is belonging to Hindu religion or Buddhist religion, then obviously caste-based stigmas may be there, but the whole concept of conversion to another religion, which does not recognize the concept of caste, is that that person does not belong to any particular caste. This distinction has been adopted in our constitution, and on the basis of this distinction, Scheduled Caste and Scheduled Tribes Prevention of Atrocities Act has been enacted. So the Honorable Supreme Court has merely interpreted this provision, which was there in the Constitution Order 1950.
Let me go into the order. The Supreme Court has ruled that only individuals belonging to Hindu, Sikh or Buddhist, as you also mentioned, faiths are eligible to claim scheduled caste status. And the court has clarified that conversion to any other religion results in the immediate and complete loss of scheduled caste status. So what repercussions could this have on the society as a whole?
This is a very serious question. We are clearly at the intersection where language of the law and the practices which are prevalent in the society are intersecting with each other. So a legal fiction has been created. And that legal fiction essentially involves the concept that if you are migrating to another religion, which is obviously a constitutional right, under Article 25, it's protected. Right to religion is a constitutionally protected right. So you can convert to another religion. And now if the law says that protection is available only to those who are belonging to Hindu, Sikh, or Buddhist religion, then obviously the court cannot go beyond the letter of the law. It is for the parliament to deliberate upon whether there is any requirement for amending this particular provision or not.
So what exactly has the Supreme Court held in this decision or this recent judgment? Could you summarize the key directions and changes without the heavy legal jargon?
If you understand this case, was it happened that there was a pastor and he alleged that he received threatening calls containing caste slur and other allegations were always there. So when the matter reached to the High Court, a 482 petition was filed by the accused persons that this person, because he has converted to Christianity, he is no longer in the position to claim the benefit or the protection of the SCST Act. So High Court adopted the Constitutional Order 1950, which says that in order to become entitled for benefits arising out of SCST Act, you have to follow the legal criteria, which is there in subclause 3 of Constitutional Order 50, which says that only Hindu religion, Sikh religion, and Buddhist religion are caste-based religions, and only members of these particular religions can be extended benefit of any protection which is being given to the scheduled caste. So on this basis, High Court decided he has migrated to another religion. Protection under SCST Act is no longer available to him. So this person came in appeal before the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court had this occasion to interpret these particular provisions. So Honorable Supreme Court agreed with the logic, the reasoning adopted by the High Court, and said, once you change your religious beliefs, and very important particular word has been used, a profess. When you say you have started professing a particular religion, it means that you have some outwardly manifestation of your religious belief. In this particular case, you see, if a person is acting as a pastor, then obviously it is outwardly manifestation that he has started practicing religious beliefs related to his religion.
Infringement of the fundamental right to choose something?
This is a very important question and very important distinction. We must understand. Law cannot proceed on the basis of emotions. See, courts decide on the basis of constitutional criteria, not emotional perceptions. You are right. When you say that a person who has migrated to another religion, and that religion may not be a scheduled religion under subclause 3 of Constitutional Order 1950, may still be discriminated against. But then the legal question is whether we have a legal provision to that effect. That question is to be decided by the parliament. Courts are merely there to interpret the provisions which are there in the legal framework of the country. This is a very important distinction which is required to be kept in mind.
Before this decision, Ashish, how did the Scheduled Caste and Scheduled Tribe Act operate in terms of FIR registration, arrest and anticipatory bail? And what are these specific safeguards or constraints that the court has now introduced or altered?
See, the starting point of having this particular special provision in our legal framework is to ensure that legal protection is there to the members of scheduled caste and scheduled tribes. From a certain point of view, if you see that obviously there are certain segments of India where we may find that such discrimination have reduced to a great effect. But if you go to interiors of the country, you still find that the such discrimination is still existent. It is undeniable fact. We can debate how long, doesn't matter, we debate this thing, but this is the social reality of our country, so we still have these provisions. Now, in order to strengthen the provisions of scheduled caste, I'm summarizing in a very layman language so that broader audience can understand. Because the complexities of Indian law, it says that if a crime is committed and if you have a battery of lawyers, good lawyers there, then you can seek legal protection and anticipatory bail, as you rightly mentioned, can be sought by the accused person. And at the end of the day, even if an allegation has been made under Scheduled Caste and Scheduled Tribe Act, the end result is that the person will go scot-free. But now this stringent provision that if an allegation has been made, the provision is there that the arrest has been made. There is the regular requirement of pre-arrest investigation has been diluted to a great extent in the case of scheduled caste and scheduled tribe act. And the provisions related to anticipatory bail have also been diluted to a great extent in this particular act in order to secure the justice for the aggrieved person. But this has to be viewed in the light of other constitutional provisions which are available to members of those who other side of the fringe. Like if an allegation has been made against a person under scheduled caste and scheduled tribe acts, so obviously the victim has his rights under Scheduled Caste and Scheduled Tribes Act, but then the other person against whom the allegation has been made also has a right under constitutional provision. Now the key question before the parliament and the courts is that how to balance these rights so that the objectives behind the constitutional provisions which are available to every person and the special protection which is available to the members of Scheduled Caste and Scheduled Tribes is enforced. So every day we see in courts that these legal tension, this legal tension is very prevalent in the court. And recent judgments, if you see, Supreme Court has reiterated again and again, if a caste-based allegation under Scheduled Caste and Scheduled Tribe Act has been made, then some sort of preliminary investigation is required. Or if, let me give you an example, if a person is not known to that person who is claiming the protection under Scheduled Caste and Scheduled Tribe, and then the allegation is that that person has made certain comments which are related to his caste. And obviously, if the facts of the case are like that, that the person who has committed the crime did not know what was the caste of the other person, then such kind of preliminary investigation should be there so that the right and constitutional protection can be balanced on both the sides. But the fact remains, we still need a legal framework which protects our vulnerable sections. We still need a legal framework which enables the downtrodden sections of our society so that they can come up forward and start feeling a valuable member of our society.
The court has also spoken about the misuse of the act in some cases based on the available data. What's your reading on that, of course, and how widespread is this alleged misuse? And is it sufficient ground to recalibrate such a protective statute?
It has been generally observed, not only the Scheduled Caste and Scheduled Tribe Act, but every act, some loopholes are there. This has been a dichotomy of the law that no matter how well you draft it, some sort of loopholes remains. Because law is always the evolving thing. It evolves with the time. It evolves with the practices. So nothing is different with the Scheduled Caste and Scheduled Tribes. We see that certain misuses are happening across the country. But then the key question is how to fine-tune the act or how to adopt best practices where misuse of this very strict act can be restricted, while the protection which is available to Scheduled Caste and Scheduled Tribes is also somehow that intention is maintained, intention of the parliament, intention of the society is upheld. So how to balance these things is still a work in progress. We see a couple of years back, there was a decision by the Honorable Supreme Court of India, and then legislative action took place and additional measures were added to this particular act. The way I see this particular piece of legislation, that this is still a work in progress. If we say that do we need this particular piece of legislation, definitely there is a need, because a wide area of India, we find that the atrocities are still taking place. But then we are also seeing that number of cases where misuse of this particular act is taking place is also increasing day by day. And how to strike a perfect balance, this is for the parliament to debate and accordingly fine-tune the provisions.
Ashish, thank you very much for that enlightening discussion. And thank you very much for being with us on Insights.
This is always fine.
You were listening to a discussion on Supreme Court's decision on the SC-ST Act. The participants were Ashish Kumar Pandey, Advocate, Supreme Court, and Rajesh Lake, Anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR. News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsdtalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289094044. Insights.